Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2, where we are talking about worldviews, the biblical Christian worldview, how we as followers of Christ, the lens through which we see people and the world around us. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the end times, judgment, heaven and hell, Jesus' return. Very excited for that. But all of these episodes are just meant to be tools to help you, the listener, reach your world with the gospel. And the gospel, it's the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to this world and lived a perfect, sinless life and went to the cross and died the death we were supposed to die because of our sins, took the punishment that was on our head. He was buried and rose again and now offers that salvation as a free gift of grace to anyone who would believe and repent and surrender to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We want to help you share that news with your world. And these topics about worldviews are meant to help you do that. And so Josh is with us again. My name is Patrick McNell. He's going to explain through some of these aspects of the end time. So I'll kind of just let you start wherever you want. I mean, honestly, the secret to when this would happen would be nice to start with. But if you want to save that, you know, till the end, that's fine too. But go ahead and kick us off with the end times, all that sort of stuff.
Yes, Pat, this is great. I enjoy talking about this. End times for some people becomes an obsession. It becomes, an unhealthy obsession. But the Bible talks about it, and Jesus talks about how the world will end and how he will bring judgment upon those who are in rebellion against him, how he will bring salvation on for his people. Mm-hmm. So there is a sermon. So I grew up in a... I grew up in a system where I remember in, I think it was in seventh grade and eighth grade Sunday school, super nice Sunday school teacher. Sometimes I still see him. They did the end times for us. They did this long chart. I remember it was a little small little classroom, and I remember it was behind my head, and it was this timeline of events, you know, the rapture and an event called the tribulation and the abomination of desolation and the second coming and Armageddon and the millennium and the new heaven and the new earth. And I just remember this timeline. That's how I grew up. And a lot of those words might be similar to some people. A lot of those words might be terrifying to some people.
And so he was being like, what are you even talking about with
these? Yeah, some people are like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So... And then when I was in fifth grade, we watched a movie that was made in the 70s. Grant, look up when this movie was made. Thief in the Night. When was Thief in the Night made?
That sounds like a great movie.
Dude, it 73. So 1973. Wow. So I watched this in, gosh, what are you, 11 years old in fifth grade? So I watched it in the early 90s in fifth grade, and it freaked me out. I'm talking, guys, freaked me out. I've never been the same from it. It was like watching a
still,
horror movie.
Still going to therapy for it. Yeah.
You want to know how bad this is? So when we moved a lot of the Waterford Library to Pastors Academy, a lot of the DVDs, we did not. Thief in the Night was in there. I got it.
Oh, no.
I got to watch this movie. I go, come on. You're a grown man. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
It
took me back, the music, the whole thing, and I'll spoil it because it's so horrible. Maybe the people have made it well-intentioned, I don't know. But the scene at the end ends with a guillotine. And I'm talking, dude, wigs me out. I mean, even thinking about it to this day, I'm like, what? Oh my gosh, terrifying. Fifth grade.
Wow.
So fifth grade... horrified that I was going to miss this event called the rapture. Now, Christians, some people might know what the rapture is. This idea that at any moment, all Christians in the world will disappear, will be taken to heaven. The word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, but our gathering together to the Lord, the angels gathering together.
Was that what, 1 Thessalonians?
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5 talks about that. 1 Thessalonians 2 or 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about our gathering together to the Lord, to him. So from fifth grade on, dude, I was wigged out. Like I needed to know where my mom was. I think I talked about this in another podcast I did with some buddies. Like I needed to know where my mom was. She was my rapture insurance, because I knew she knew the Lord for sure. So if I knew where my mom was,
I don't know where she's at.
But if mom's missing, I've been left behind, you know? So there was a lot of fear associated with end times for me. Mm-hmm. And that might not be everyone else's journey. So it was years and years, and I remember reading Mark 13. So Mark 13 is part of a sermon called the Olivet Discourse. That's the formal name of it. But Jesus is giving a sermon while sitting on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is just outside of the old city of Jerusalem, with a beautiful panoramic view of the Temple Mount, even to this day. Anytime I get to go to the Mount of Olives, I love it. It's just kind of a special place. And so the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sits there, and the disciples are commenting on the buildings of the temple. And Jesus begins to talk about how several events, in my opinion, the destruction of Jerusalem and his return. And it rattles the disciples, because the temple there was such a source of national pride, and Herod had rebuilt it, and you know it's not going away now. You know it's going to be so a lot of emotions I think tied up in there. But the Olivet Discourse is Jesus talking about what's the destruction of Jerusalem and what is the end of the world. So Olivet Discourse is Mark 13. We see it in Matthew chapter 24, 25. We see it in Luke 21, and Jesus talks about his coming, his second coming. So when we deal with the end times, fundamentally what we have to think about, like at the core, we have to think about this is, when is the end, what's the end of the world? And when we talk about the end of the world, we're talking about God's judgment on those in rebellion against him, and God's salvation to those who are faithful to him. What does that look like? People have all kinds of ideas, all kinds of opinions. And I think the core opinion that Christians must agree on is that Jesus is going to return. So Jesus gives a parable in Matthew 25, with several of them there. The idea is the parable of the talents, the parable of these 10 bridesmaids, they're called the 10 virgins, being ready. So the world is going to come to an end, and it's not going to come to an end by human force. The existential threat of climate change, like that's not going to bring
nuclear warfare.
Nuclear war. People, you know, these fears have existed at different times in different cultures throughout the last 2,000 years of Christian history. What we can say definitively is God will bring the world to an end, because he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And Jesus is going to return to usher in that process. We can be confident of that. If we know Christ, the return of Jesus is wonderful. If we don't know Christ, the return of Jesus is horrifying. So I think that that duality, that dichotomy, has been a source of why there's movies made and, you know, best-selling books about this particular event and guessing at when it will happen. I went to a, I don't want to bust chuck anybody, but I was at a place one time where someone predicted the rapture. Have I ever told you a story? Ever told you a story, Grant? So I was at a school where someone predicted the rapture down to the day.
Wow.
And said, this is the day Jesus is going to return. It was some math of, matter of fact, hold on. Will you grab me that Bible right there? This is weird, sorry. This is probably not podcast protocol. I have in this Bible from when I was a kid the date.
Oh, wow.
Of when. So it was September 16th, 1993.
Huh.
Okay, so I was 12 years old. And, I mean, you see it right there. That was the date that Jesus was going to return. And we just happened to be at school camp.
Yep.
Like middle school camp or something, I don't remember. And it was the day that Jesus was supposed to return. So there was a lot. It was like, man, what am I in, sixth, seventh grade there maybe? I don't know, sixth or seventh. And it was like that fifth grade experience where the thief in the night, it was so much fear. And I think by that point I had dealt with some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So that night it was preached, you know, you need to get born again. So all of these Christian school kids are getting saved again. I'm going to put that in quotes. I don't want to insult anybody. But
for sure.
And there's just this mood of fear at this camp. So that night someone has the idea, I don't know who it is. Someone has the idea, we're going to play hide and seek.
Oh, no.
No joke, Pat. Oh, no. I'm not making... I've gone back to people that I know were there, and I'm like, that happened. They're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, I don't...
You didn't, like, make of an event. Like,
yeah, I'm
not,
like...
Life.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, mingling events in my head or, like, dude, movies or whatever. So they preach that in the chapel that night. Someone goes, okay, we're going to play hide and seek, but the leaders are going to hide. And you have to find the leaders.
Goodness.
This is no joke, guys. So I'm walking in the woods, me and a few of my friends, a group of friends, and it starts to get dark. And people start to melt down. I mean, we're talking like little middle school girls. Now I look and go, this is abusive. This is the definition
Very
of spiritual long. Abuse.
Yeah.
Melting down. I remember this girl falling on the ground, sobbing, crying, I've been left behind.
Wow.
Dude, it was nuts. All the adults get found. We go, we're sitting at the campfire that night, and it's after midnight passes.
Like, what's
and the guy goes, well, I guess I was wrong. I mean, it was one of the most understated, wow. Like, I think it was like this mashup of we want Jesus to return, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
We want to go to heaven. We want to be reunited with our dead, you know, our deceased relatives who knew the Lord, like all of those things. But like the Bible says, even Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that event. So anytime was a guy that most recent guy was pretty popular. Harold Camping had a few predictions of the exact date Jesus is going to return, the rapture. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to the end time, that to me is one of the biggest. No one knows when this is going to start.
Yeah.
Nobody knows, but the Christian is meant to live in daily expectation that what we look outside and see right now is temporal, and that Jesus is going to bring it to an end, and there will be a reward for those who follow him and love him, and there will be judgment for those who are in rebellion against him. That's what the end times to me is about.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to be preaching on it as we're recording this Sunday, but Romans 13, right? The hour has come for you to wake from your sleep, and for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So yeah, we're supposed to live like expecting him to return, but we don't know the day. We don't know when he's going to return. It's not what we're called to do.
No, we're not meant to, not meant to try to figure that out and subtract this number and add this number and come up with a specific date and time. And no, the day of the Lord will come.
Mm-hmm.
There will be scoffers about that. And Peter talks about that in 2 Peter 3. He says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. So the point is that the way God keeps time is different than the way we keep time. Mm-hmm. The Lord is not slow, verse 9, to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. So there's scoffers in the last days, since Jesus ascended into heaven, the Bible mm-hmm. talks about this being the last days. So it's been 2,000 years. Well, Peter wrote this 2,000 yeah. years. It's interesting to think about that, that the patience of God is meant to mm-hmm. lead people to repentance, and yet often it leads people to scoffing. Oh, he's not going to return. That mm-hmm. was an empty, hollow promise. The moment Jesus ascended into heaven, and this is in Acts 1, the disciples were meant to live in daily expectation of mm-hmm. his return. The angels came and said, hey, just as you saw Jesus leave, he will return. Mm-hmm. And Revelation, John talks about that. Those who pierced him, those who will see him, every mm-hmm. eye will see him. So that day, I think 2 Peter 3:10 is so great, but that the day of the Lord will come. Mm-hmm. And it will come like a thief. It will not come with all these great announcements. It's just going to come. Believers will be like, this is the best day ever. Jesus is here. So to me, what makes me a little angry looking back at some of those things in my childhood was that the day of the Lord was used as this threatening thing and not this comforting thing.
Yeah.
That's the point in 1 Thessalonians 5. The end of the passage is comfort one another with these words. Mm-hmm. So this idea of end times is not meant to be this biblical Rubik's Cube we're trying yeah. to figure out where we can calculate the exact day. Mm-hmm. No one knows the day or the hour. But what Jesus has told us is meant to comfort us and say, I am returning. Mm-hmm. So there's a comfort to it. There's a motivation to it. There's also the evangelistic effort that judgment is coming. Mm-hmm. And if we are alive at the return of the Lord, if we know the Lord, we'll be gathered together the Lord. If we don't know the Lord, there will be no escape. There's no hope anymore. Mm-hmm. There's no opportunity.
Could you speak? Let's move into that topic too, because I think so. I love that you said we don't know the times. We don't know. There's a lot of different theories with different end time beliefs, but we know Jesus will return. He yes. will come for us.
Real.
For real. There will be this judgment. Can you speak of though, let's move into some of the destinations of eternity, heaven and hell. Mm. Can you explain some of that to us? Because I know there's some people who believe hell is not eternal or some of these different thoughts. So can you explain maybe from scripture where we get these beliefs?
Yeah, Matthew 25 is one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, the end parable, or kind of not really parable, but the end mm-hmm. teaching there in the final judgment, and I love that one. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is teaching again the Olivet Discourse, his return. In 24, he says, in 24:30, then will appear in heaven a sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and great glory. So there's the coming of the Lord. Verse 37, concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. Mm-hmm. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. So there will be those who celebrate it. Those will be those who weep over it. But Jesus gives kind of three sections in Matthew 25. The first one, as I mentioned earlier, is the parable of the bridesmaids or mm-hmm. the 10 virgins, as it's called there. And the door is shut at the end of the parable. There's no chance for them to get into the party. Mm-hmm. Jesus tells the story of the servants, and he talks about in verse 30, he casts the worthless servant into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and mm-hmm. gnashing of teeth. He talks about at the end of judgment, this is in verse 46 of Matthew 25. He says, these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So Jesus talks about heaven many times. Jesus talks about hell, eternal punishment, weeping, gnashing of teeth, darkness, talks about in the passage, you know, the devil, eternal darkness or hell prepared for the devil and his angels. So that was the original intention of this place called hell or the lake of fire. And we see that in Revelation, it talked about that. But is heaven eternal? Well, that's what the Bible says there. The righteous into eternal life. And the others into eternal punishment. So is Jesus using the word eternal for eternal life, but it's not really eternal life? And eternal punishment isn't really eternal life? He uses the same. Like, there it is. Like, one is eternal punishment, eternal conscious torment, separation from God, and the other eternal bliss in the presence of God.
And that's a dangerous slippery slope to run down, because if you say, well, it's not eternal punishment, how can then we be sure it's eternal life, right?
That's exactly
I said that, yeah.
Yeah, you have, you know, in, I just said, you know, oh, there you go, that's one for you. In Luke 16, you have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and I'll call it a parable, the story. There's a lot of debate of whether it's a true story or what exactly Jesus is doing there. But Jesus talks about the rich man dying. And in verse 23, it says, in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes. So hell is an awful thing to contemplate, but I think it is something that a believer, again, Jesus talks about it. It's meant to warn us. It's meant to, I think, sober us up. It's meant to help us think about eternity. But that's the eternal destination. So I think when we talk about end times a little bit, we should think about that judgment, the rescuing of Jesus, the judgment of Jesus. But also those are, you know, just a half step beyond those are heaven and hell.
Yeah. So I think naturally what will arise when this discussion of heaven and hell comes up, and I've heard it before from many people, why would a loving God send people to an eternity of hell for 70 to 100 years of sin? How can we respond to people who may be having that thought when we're trying to evangelize and reach them?
I would have liked that question prior, Pat.
It was a really good question. I'll give you some time to think about it. Patrick McNeil with a great question, yes.
So we have the holiness of God. So we talk about God being holy and God being righteous. We have all rebelled against God. So we all deserve hell. That I think is what we have to first. Many commentators, I read it the other day, it's not the miracle that's, you know, it's not shocking that some aren't saved. It's shocking that any are saved is kind of the premise of the line. We all deserve hell because we all have sinned against God. The only reason we have any hope of salvation is not an obligation from God. God's not obligated to do that. That's grace. That's God's love. That's God's kindness. So I think we have to understand the grievous nature of our sin against God.
I think that's something that we forget sometimes. We think too highly of ourselves and think too lowly of God. Like, when we say sin against God, it's not just like I hurt you or I've lied to you. No, we've sinned against a holy, perfect, eternal God. That is...
Who gave us everything.
Everything.
Who gave us everything, including life. And we're like, meh. And then he sent his only son, and humanity killed him. It was part of the divine plan of God. But it is the idea of... The idea that we're able to be forgiven of our sins, not just God altering his character and be like, you know what, I'm not going to make sin a big deal anymore. Like, it's yeah. like, I always imagine people think, you know, God is, God, can you just get over this sin? You know what, I will. You know, I'll just get over it. And that's, we're asking God to not be God. Mm-hmm. So he's holy, he's righteous. And we, when we think about hell, I think we should realize that is how seriously God takes sin. Mm-hmm. That is how deeply his character is violated by our sin. Mm-hmm. Hell is awful. Yeah. I hate to contemplate it. I hate to think about the reality that there are people in hell right now. Mm-hmm. I hate to think about the idea that there are people sitting in our buildings every Sunday or listening right now that will reject Jesus or will deceive themselves into thinking that they're born again and go, I hate it.
Yeah.
When Jesus talks about Matthew 7, depart from me, I do not know you. Mm. It's the most horrifying Bible verse for me.
Mm-hmm. I as we wrap up this discussion on how I always like to, for me, it helps like use it as motivation of like, we want those people that we love them to avoid that. And Charles Spurgeon has a great quote, and we'll end on this. He says, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. That quote always hits me. That
it's great.
We should, if it should be on us to do all that we can to keep those people from that destination. So that wraps up our discussion on the end times, and I'm sure there are plenty of questions that come with that. So just encourage you to keep, you know, maybe asking your pastors or whatever it is, your location pastors, go to them and give them these tough questions, you know.
Read the Bible.
Read
the Bible. Read the Olivet Discourse. Read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Read the book of Revelation. See those things together. Let the Bible inform what you think the end times are going to be. And it's okay to agree to disagree on some stuff. Jesus is going to return. That's what we must agree on. Is that before the tribulation? Is that the middle of the tribulation? Mm-hmm. Is that before the wrath of the tribulation? Is that post-tribulation? Is that what is the millennium? Mm-hmm. Where do we put that? Like, to me, where people can go wrong is if they obsess over that at the expense of, to take the Spurgeon quote, wrapping their arms around people, imploring them to reject hell and accept Christ and go to heaven.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. In the next episode, we kind of start to transition into some more of these hot button topics. So I would encourage you to listen to those. We're going to be talking about gender and sexuality in the next episode. So it should be a really interesting topic to jump into. Thank you for listening to the Learning to Reach Your World podcast, Season 2, Christian Worldview. We're grateful for the opportunity to share real, practical truth that will help you preach the gospel in your world. If you don't yet know Christ, we invite you to listen to the gospel message we share at the beginning of each episode. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at questions@theriverchurch.cc. and we'll do our best to answer them. If you would like to get connected or hear more about the River Church, you can text the word River Church to 97,000. Thank you for listening. We hope you will tune back in soon.